Today's gospel starts with an interesting question. This man asks our Lord, how many people are going to be saved? How many are going to get to heaven? I'm not going to sugarcoat the answer for you. The answer is, and this appears in both the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Matthew, the number of people that will not attain salvation will be many, and the people who will attain salvation will be few, is the Lord's answer. So it's not necessarily an encouraging answer, but I think it's important for us to look at the topic of salvation, because I think the common view that people have today, if you ask a typical person in the United States, they'd say, well, everyone goes to heaven, or just about everyone goes to heaven. And I think one of the reasons they say that is they'd say, well, how could a loving God send anyone to hell? You know, if God loves us, of course we'll all go to heaven. Or some people, it's just uncomfortable to think about the thought that someone we know, or ourselves even, or a loved one, would not attain salvation. You know, it's a very difficult thing to even think about. But the question is, what's the truth about salvation? And then Christ is the judge of the living and the dead, and he tells us in today's gospel, he says that many people who are striving for heaven will not attain salvation. Not even to mention people who are not striving for heaven. So how do we reconcile this with a loving God? Well, there's no doubt that God loves us. You know, God has done everything he possibly can to open up the path to salvation to us. We hear in the first reading how he opens salvation to all nations. You know, he gives us the Catholic Church, and he teaches us the proper morality through the church. We send missionaries to all corners of the world, whether it's Madagascar or India or, you know, all nations of the world. Our Lord gives us baptism. He gives us his body and blood in the Eucharist. He gave us his only begotten Son to die on Calvary. There's no question that God loves us, and that he's done everything he possibly can to extend the offer of salvation to us. But the question is, do we love God in return? You know, that's the real question, because for salvation, you know, that requires us to love God. And God is going to respect our free will. He doesn't treat us as slaves. He's not going to force people to go to heaven against their will. We're not his slaves. He treats us as his children. And he gives us free will. And so each one of us has a decision whether we're going to love and obey Jesus Christ or not. I think that the teaching or the belief that everyone goes to heaven, or just about everyone goes to heaven, is dangerous, because it leads to apathy. It's like telling students when they show up, you know, on the first day of class, if they're high school students, telling everyone they're going to get an A in the class. No matter what you do this year, you're going to get an A. How hard are those kids going to try? You know, they're not going to do anything. You know, it's hard enough to get them to do their homework when you hold grades over their heads. But if you tell people, well, everyone's going to heaven, people are going to become very apathetic in the spiritual life. And that's why it's so dangerous, because people who otherwise might have attained salvation if they were striving for it might not attain it through that apathy. So what is the real teaching? Well, we don't know percentages. You know, Christ never says, you know, 75% hell, 25% heaven. He doesn't give us straight percentages like that. All he says is the gate is narrow and the way is difficult, and those who find it are few. The Catechism of the Catholic Church talks about this passage in paragraph 1036. And what it says is, the affirmations of sacred scripture and the teachings of the church on the subject of hell are a call to the responsibility incumbent upon man to make use of his freedom in view of his eternal destiny. So when the church, or when scripture, talks about hell, it's a call on the responsibility of every human being to exercise their free will in light of eternity. So what does that mean? Well, every day we have a choice as to whether we're going to love and obey our Lord or not. And we should always exercise that freedom in light of eternity. And so when it comes to cursing the Lord's name, do we curse the Lord's name or not? We should exercise our free will in light of eternity. You know, what does our Lord ask us to do? Are we going to obey or not? When it comes to going to Mass on Sundays, exercise our free will. Do we go to Mass on Sundays and obey the Lord's command, or do we reject it? exercise our free will in light of eternity. When it comes to cohabiting before marriage, do we obey the Lord's commands regarding the sanctity of marriage, or do we disobey them? Exercise our freedom. Do we look at degrading images of people on the internet, or do we look at people with purity? Exercise our freedom in light of eternity. And so the church is teaching, it's not condemning people. The church always encourages us to live on the straight and narrow path. If we have fallen from the straight and narrow path, to seek reconciliation through the sacrament of confession and to get back on that path. You know, the church desires the salvation of all people. And the church's teaching and the teaching of Scripture and the teaching our Lord gives us is meant to lead us on that path to salvation. But it's important for us to recognize that we do have free will. And God is going to respect our choice. And so we always need to be very careful and thoughtful about how we exercise our free will in light of our eternal destiny. Today's gospel is not meant for all those other people out there. Sometimes I think we naturally think, well, it's for other people, not me. No, the gospel is for us. I think it's important for us to look at ourselves and realize that with our free will, each one of us has free will. Each one of us also has disordered passions. And so every day, we have a chance to serve the Lord or to fall and sin against him. I encourage you to do a meditation this week, and it's a difficult meditation, but it can be very fruitful. To take the words from today's gospel, and all of Scripture is worthy of meditation, but it says in today's gospel the words of Christ, "I do not know where you are from. Depart from me." Meditate upon those words. Because in each one of us, there is a realistic possibility that we will or will not attain salvation. We can exercise our free will. But if we meditate upon those words, it can build a desire and a resolve within us that we don't want to hear those words when the final exam comes. It can build a resolve within us never to sin against the Lord, not to sin mortally and not to sin venially, to serve the Lord well and to confess our past sins. It can build a zeal within our hearts for salvation so that we are striving to enter the narrow gate and so that we don't lose our salvation. Salvation and zeal for it shouldn't be something that's peripheral, but it should be something that is very central to our lives. And God willing, it's our hope that we can cram as many people as possible through that narrow gate, because there's no set cap. There's no quota on how many people are going to attain salvation. But it is important for us to heed our Lord's words carefully and to strive to enter the narrow gate.